We've been talking about habits, and specifically we've been talking about spiritual habits, but like we've said before, you need to form habits besides just spiritual habits. Like if you don't brush your teeth, you'll have nasty breath, and no one will want to hang around with you because they'll just think, who's that dude with the funky mouth and has got bad breath? And you want him to stay away. If you don't brush your teeth, it's kind of a bad thing. I brush my teeth, but I don't floss well enough, so my teeth look pretty, but they're all rotten on the inside. So one day last year, I was eating an apple, and I bit into the apple and went crunch. And I thought that was just the apple. No, in fact, it was my tooth collapsing. I bit into an apple, and my tooth collapsed. And so I was like, this is kind of strange. I don't remember my tooth normally having so much of a big hole in the side of it. And I looked at it, and yet my tooth was half gone. So I didn't form a good habit when it came to brushing my teeth and flossing, and therefore my tooth collapsed. So with that, when we talk about forming spiritual habits, it's kind of the same idea, except it's not that if you don't have a quiet time, your teeth will collapse unless God decides to form a funny sense of humor. But it's not that your teeth will collapse, but it's that when you graduate from high school, when you graduate from youth group, we don't want you to graduate from your faith and all of a sudden you're nowhere spiritually. So with that, when we talk about habits, we've had a different... There's cords underneath me. We've had a different something we talk about with each letter, and today we're talking about T. And if there was an M in the word habits, we'd be talking about money, but since there isn't an M in habits, we're going to call it treasures. Treasures. Or your money, your possessions, your stuff. That's what we're talking today. We're talking about forming good habits in that regard. And people are kind of strange when it comes to money. Like I said, at Slip and Slide Kickball, all the guys were going nuts trying to get a monster. I brought some monster. I was like, here, if you do something cool, you get one of these. Everybody freaked out, went nuts, like, hey, look at me, look at me. Like you saw the thing in the video where the guy like flipped over and then he grabbed his head. It's because he like split his skull open trying to impress me to get a monster. And so because of that, I mean, it just went crazy trying to get something. There was this show that was on TV for about 5 years called Fear Factor. The entire premise of the show is people doing the craziest things, the grossest things, just trying to get some money. I was going to bring in some clips from the show, but they were all too gross. I mean, every single one of them, it was like a girl eating fish eyeball pizza and then puking in a trash can. There was people eating live bugs and just like, and like tarantulas crawling on their tongues and stuff like that. The one I saw, I considered bringing it in. I was this close. They had a conveyor belt filled with animal parts, like spleens, stomachs, tongues. I mean, it's just animal parts kind of going down this conveyor belt. And these people had to pick up this stuff with their mouth, carry it over, and drop it in a trash can. That's what they had to do on the show. I mean, there's literally like this girl, she looks like a model. She walks up, and it's a spinal cord. And she bends over, bites the spinal cord with her mouth, picks it up. It's oozing out of her mouth. It's jiggling, wiggling around. She goes over and spits it out. Why would you bite a cow's spinal column? Why would you do that ever? Well, she did it because she wanted some money. This is the actual reason I pulled the money out of my wallet. She wanted some money, and therefore she would bite a cow's spinal column, or stomach, or a pig's tongue. Anything they put on the conveyor belt, she would do it just to get some money. So we talk about money, where people do the craziest thing, so we want to have a different perspective, and with that, we need to stop and look at what do people, a lot of people think about money. And with that, we're going to look at what the world says about money, and then we're going to look at what Scripture says about money. And the first thing... Actually, first, before we talk about what they talk about, when we talk about money, we're not just talking about like wads of cash and saying, well, people love money, man. Ooh, I love money. And it's, well, we're not talking about like that. It's not like Scrooge McDuck from DuckTales. I'm not talking about people having like a vault full of money that they go swimming in, like in DuckTales, if you've ever seen that. We're talking about your possessions. If you love your stuff, you're obsessed with your stuff, that's what we're talking about. Money refers to your possessions, the things you have, and it does refer to your cash as well. But with that, the world says a number of things. The first thing it says is that you can serve God and money at the same time. You can serve God and money at the same time. That's what the world says. I mean, there are actually churches out there that's kind of their message, that if you serve God, you get money. I mean, they're just kind of really intertwined, the two. Serving God and money, hey, they're hand in hand. Other places where it comes up is people say that you go to church on Sundays and that's your spiritual time, and then the rest of the week you kind of live differently. You're all about video games. You're all about the clothes that you wear. You're all about the shoes that you have. We're having a conversation about shoes over there 30 minutes ago or so. And so you just have this kind of separation. One day it's about spiritual things, the next day it's all about your stuff. So you see that. You can do both. That's what some people say. Next one. Money is most important. Money is most important. That's what the world says. I mean, we kind of measure people based off their success. Well, people, someone has a great job, they have lots of money. Well, they must be important. Or, like I said, I mentioned a couple weeks back how back in the day, people would wear these big puffy jackets and they'd kind of walk around like this with these big puffy jackets. Maybe my wife had one of them. And these puffy jackets were kind of expensive. And so if you had several of these puffy jackets, you must have been pretty cool. And they also had these clothes that were called jerbos. I don't know if they're still around. They were jeans. And then people would have the t-shirts. And so if you could afford to have the jeans and the t-shirt, well, that was pretty impressive. If you had money, you must be important. You must be pretty cool. And so we'll measure things based off of how much money people have. Other ways, we kind of idolize celebrities. You look at you look at the tabloids, you don't see a lot of just average middle class people being covered in tabloids or on People magazine. No, it's all rich people. They've got money, so we think they're important. I mean, there are people out there that the only reason they're famous is because they have money and they get in trouble all the time, and we just follow them around. We're obsessed with them. I mean, it's the strangest thing, but we're obsessed with people that have money. We think that they're important. Next one. The world says that money gives you happiness. I mean, that's everywhere. You turn on your TV, you watch a TV program, what happens between the ads? They keep trying to convince you that an iPod will make you happy. Well, excuse me, now it's an iPhone. If you have an iPhone, you can go to McDonald's and maybe they have a Wi-Fi hookup and you can surf the net at McDonald's, and that's what will make you happy. Or it's a new car, or it's a PlayStation 3. I mean, ads, they're just trying to tell you, if you get these things, it'll make you happy. And you have more money, you can get more stuff, that's what will make you happy. That's what all the commercials are saying. And so everywhere you go, it tells you that. And, I mean, I remember, it's kind of like, well, on Fear Factor, why do people bite the spinal column of the pig or the cow and carry it? Why would you do that? What's to get money? And they think that'll make them happy. I remember one time I went to a summer camp. It was actually only a week-long camp between the 5th and 6th grade. And one day we're walking down the horse trail. And as is the case with all horse trails, there's just manure everywhere. One of the guys pulls out $5, and he says, I'll give $5 to anybody that picks up a piece of the manure and puts it in your mouth. And one of the guys goes, $5? I'd do anything for $5. Scoops it up, puts it in his mouth, and goes, give me my $5 right now, and throws it down. Got his $5. Why would you put horse manure in your mouth? Why would you do that? You wouldn't. But this guy would, because he thought $5 would make him happy. $5? Oh, yeah. I'll put anything in my mouth for $5. Ah. I mean, it was just disgusting. But he thought it would make him happy. Thought it would make him happy, $5 and $5, so he put horse manure in his mouth. This is all, on a different example of this, my dad, his entire goal in life was to make lots of money and retire young. That was his goal. He grew up not poor, but they didn't have a ton of money, and so he just worked hard. He thought, money's going to be the thing that'll make me happy. If I have money and I have stuff, that'll make me happy. So he worked hard, and he did. He accomplished his goal. He retired young, and he thought, that's the thing that'll make me happy. I'm just going to focus on one thing. I'm going to do it well, and he thought that's what's going to make him happy. So everywhere the world says money gives happiness. Next one on here, the last one on the world side. Money gives security. The world says if you have lots of money, you can buy all the stuff you want and then you're secure. You don't have to worry about anything. You can buy the house you want. You can buy the car you want. You can buy the iPhone to surf the internet at McDonald's. You can do whatever you want, and you're secure if you have money. As long as you have money, you're nice and secure, and you don't have anything to worry about. So these are the four things that kind of the world says about money. And with that in mind, if you look at the world, there's kind of some problems in the world. I mean, last December, some people out in the world, they decided it would be a good idea to break into my apartment when I was out of town and steal all of my electronics. And so they did. They broke into my house and they stole all my stuff. Now, if that's what the world's, if this is what this leads to, saying money's most important, money will make me happy, money gives security, if someone thinking money's going to make them happy, it led them to break into my house, something's probably not right with the way the world is thinking about money. Something's not right there, so we need to look somewhere else to learn about money besides what the world is saying, because something's not right. So with that, we're going to see, look at some examples in Scripture, what the Scripture says. And the first one, it says, you can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and money. And where you get this from, Jesus actually said it very explicitly. He was talking to a group of people, and he was talking to the Pharisees were there, disciples were there, and this is the words of Jesus. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And when we talk about serving money, I mean, it's not like a literal statement. It's not like money's here. I'm going, oh, master money, money, what would you have me do? I mean, it's not like that. We're not talking about actually like, money, what should I do? No, we're talking about being self-centered, really is what we're talking about. When we talk about serving money, we talk about loving money, we're really talking about loving ourselves and our possessions. That's really what we're talking about. It's being obsessed with me, being obsessed with my stuff. It's all about me, and it's not about God. And so that's the problem. If it's all about what can I get, how much stuff can I get, how can I put myself at the center stage, how can I be most important, all about my happiness, then it's not about God. If it's about me, it's not about God. But if it's about God, then it's not about me. So you can't have it both ways. You can't serve both. It's one or it's the other. The next one on here. Loving God is most important. Loving God is most important. And this is another one that Jesus pretty explicitly said. Uh-oh. I appear to have lost my PowerPoint. I don't know what has happened. Anyway, we'll just go on without it. Jesus said in Mark 12, verse 28, basically he's talked, someone comes up to Jesus and he says, hey Jesus, what is most important? What's the most important commandment in the Bible? Jesus answers him. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. So someone says, Jesus, what is the most important commandment? He says, love God. What he didn't say was, love money, love your possessions. He didn't say that. He said, love God. That is what is most important. And the way this works is the fact that God created the universe. God sustains the universe. God sent His Son to redeem us. So really, we owe God pretty much everything. Everything is His anyway. And so He is most important, so we should be serving Him anyway. And so kind of one way to think about this, I have my twins, my twin nephews. I've mentioned them before. They're 3 years old. We were at my mom's house about a week ago, and they're sitting at my mom's table. And they've got a little Batmobile toy that I got from McDonald's back 15 years ago when I was like 10 years old. This is a little car. And they're fighting over it. One of them's got it. He goes, hey, you got my toy? The other one grabs it and goes, mine! And then the first one goes, hey, it's in my Batmobile! He took my Batmobile! And the other one goes, mine! Mine! And the one over here says, he took my Batmobile! He took... And the other one's over here, mine! Mine! And they just keep going, screaming back and forth. And they're both in tears going, it's in my Batmobile! The Batman! And they stole it. And they're just screaming back and forth. And the entire time, I was just thinking, well, that's all a bit silly, because it's actually my Batmobile. It's neither one of theirs. So I grabbed it from both of them and went, mine! And walked off, and they started crying. And I taught them a life lesson right there that how things work. A good life lesson right there. Okay, I didn't do that. I let them keep it. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, kind of illustrates the idea that you have two kids fighting over a toy, both of them screaming, mine! When in fact, there's a nice echo in here. Mine! That was fun. Both of them are just screaming about this toy, trying to get it, when the whole time it wasn't either one of theirs. It was, in fact, mine from 15 years ago. Well, we kind of bicker back and forth, trying to say, you know, we got to get as much money as I can, as much stuff as I can. But at the end of the day, it's not mine. It's not yours. It's all God's. We kind of fight over it. We try and get our piece of the pie. But really, it's all God's at the end of the day. It's not ours anyway. God is most important. We need to be serving God. The next one on here. The world says that money will make you happy. The Bible says that loving money leads to pain. Loving money leads to pain. That's the next one on there. Has anyone ever heard the phrase, money is the root of all evil? Is that a biblical phrase? No is the correct answer. A lot of people say that money is, you know, just money is evil and money. Well, money's not evil. You can do a lot of good things with money. If you go and buy some Bibles and give them to people, that's a pretty good use of money. If you go out and build an orphanage, that's a good thing to do with money. On the other hand, you know, if you go out and you hire a hitman to kill someone, that's probably a pretty evil thing to do with your money. That would be a bad idea. In fact, I would discourage all of you from hiring hitmen to kill people. That's your life. That's your lesson for the day. Don't hire hitmen. But so there's things you can do with money that's good, and there's things you can do with money that's bad. And so money itself isn't evil. And Scripture actually has a phrase similar to that, and that's where people get this idea. But in 1 Timothy 6:10 it says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." So it's the love of money that's a problem. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. "Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." And so with that, what it says is that if you love money and you're just obsessed with money and all you care about is money and you're just going after money, that's not going to lead to happiness. That's going to lead to grief and it's going to lead to pain. And well, a simple example of that, I mentioned I got robbed. Someone was so in love with money, they stole my stuff. Well, that kind of caused a lot of pain for my wife and I, Jennifer and I. Coming home one day and all of our stuff is gone and everything in our house has been gone through. They went through our room and they pulled out every drawer. I mean, they turned over all the cushions on our couch. I mean, they just destroyed everything in our house looking for anything they could take that was worth anything. Their love of money hurt us. Do you have a question? You're just stretching.
Did you find that room?
No. We never found them. We never got anything back. Yes.
Did you have a good insurance company?
We did not have a good insurance company because we were planning on switching insurance companies, and so we didn't. And so, like I said, it was just a really bad time where we lost a bunch of money. We had no closure. We got nothing back. We never caught the people. It was just like this really, really awful situation. In fact, we were planning on actually helping someone plant a church in Missouri. One of our friends, started a church. We were planning on going with him to go do that, but because when we got robbed, we were like, we don't want to go off to some strange place where we might get robbed again. We're going to move back to Texas where our families are, and that's actually directly related to why I'm here this morning. Because it hurt us so bad that when we got robbed, that we're like, we just want to go buy our family somewhere where we feel safe. That's why we're here today. Is partly because of this happened. Someone loved money so much that they wronged us that we just had to move back here by our families. But besides that, there are a number of celebrities who have gotten all the money they could want. They're rich, they're famous. An example is a guy named Owen Wilson. He's one of the top comedians these days, stars in a bunch of movies. He attempted suicide within the last year. He's at the top of his field. He's making millions and millions of dollars every year, and it didn't make him happy. It left him empty. He achieved everything he could possibly want, and he was still empty. Back in the 90s, there was a musician named Kurt Cobain. He was the most popular musician of the early 90s. Still on the radio all the time, even today. Killed himself. And so money left them empty. And I mentioned my dad before, how he pursued money and retiring early at every cost. I mean, he just worked so hard that he kind of abandoned our family. He didn't go on vacations with us. He estranged my older brother. He formed a drinking problem. He was divorced 3 times. But he achieved his goal. He retired when he was in his 40s. And after he'd been retired for 7 years, I even asked him, "So how's retirement going?" He goes, "No, actually, I'm kind of bored." He didn't say, yeah, retirement's great, I'm having so much fun, I just play golf all the time. And he said, no, I'm kind of bored. He was alone and he was bored. That was the end result of his pursuit of money. It didn't leave him happy. Anyway, the final one on here, loving money makes you insecure. Final piece, loving money makes you insecure. The world says it makes you secure. Scripture says it leaves you insecure. Proverbs 23, verse 4 through 5 says, don't weary yourself trying to get rich. Why waste your time? For riches can disappear as though they had the wings of a bird. The idea being that no matter how much money you have, it can always disappear. Something can happen. And we're not talking about like David Copperfield, like, whoa, the money's gone. We're not talking about that kind of disappearing. Yeah, that was a good one. I got more tricks like that. Whoa! We're not talking about something like that. We're talking about how, well, like for example, what happened in Houston a week ago. Thousands and thousands of houses were just completely covered in 10 feet of water. Their houses, their possessions, all their stuff destroyed. People lose their jobs. There's fires. People get robbed. I mean, there's so many things can happen that cause all your money to go away. And if your security is only in your stuff, if you're only secure when you have money, you're only secure when you have all the coolest, newest things, when you have the best clothes, if that's the only time you're secure, then really you're insecure. Because money is the only thing holding you up. It's like a crutch. So money doesn't leave you secure. It doesn't give you security. Actually, if that's your source of happiness and security, then you're completely insecure. So kind of as we come to a close, and I've said a lot of things about money, and we kind of go, okay, so what can I do with this? How can I make a change? How can I be different and show that I'm serving God and not money? And I know you guys are at an age where you probably don't have tons and tons of money. You're not raking in hundreds and hundreds of dollars each week from your jobs. You don't have, you know, you're certainly not getting thousands of dollars a week from your jobs. So you only have a little bit of money, and that's why it's important right now to form the correct habits in regards to your money. Because if you can't give money to the church, if you can't use your money responsibly when you have little money, when you have lots of money, it's going to be even more difficult to give money away to the church. So a simple action step, and when I say this is, I'm talking to myself, certainly as much as I'm talking to you, but just right off the top, however much money you have, whenever you're giving money, give 10% to the church, right off the top. It's just a simple way to say, God, you're number one. I'm not number one. It's not about me. It's all about you. And it doesn't have to be 10%. 10% is just kind of an arbitrary number to an extent. 10%, give it to the church right off the top. And that's a way of saying, God, I serve you. I'm not all about myself. And like I said, that's something that we're trying to work on. We're writing up a budget right now, trying to figure out, okay, you know, how much money do we need to give right off the top? And so with that, just think about your money differently from the world. Don't think about, oh, this is all about me. Realize it's God. And remember my little nephew screaming, mine, with stuff that was actually, in fact, mine. Everything you have is God's. It's not yours. So when you're all worried about your stuff, you're really kind of acting like a little three-year-old fighting with his little twin brother. Keep that in mind, that image of me screaming mine, which was supposed to be my twins. Anyway, let's pray, and then we'll go into discussion groups with the last few minutes. Dear Lord, when we talk about money, we're talking about something that comes close to home for everybody. It's nice to have cool stuff. It's nice to have cool clothes. And so it's so difficult to learn to live realizing it's all yours. And help each one of us, whenever we have money in our pocket, even the money I have in my pocket right now, realize that's a blessing from you, and realizing that my first response should be to give back to you instead of to hoard it for myself or use it to serve myself. And guys, we go out this next week. Help us to be strong and faithful towards you, and help some of the students here, even possibly to go to see you at the poll and pray for their schools. In your name we pray. Amen.